Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 204. So today we have John Kaplan back of Teledevelopment. John is, well, certainly Teledevelopment is as old as the industry itself. It's a, I suppose, a professional services firm or an advisory firm or a solutions firm that services the outsourcing industry. As I mentioned, it's 25 years old, and John was responsible for bringing over some of the earliest outsourcing clients into the Philippines and has seen the industry grow and evolve. So I got John back to discuss Teledevelopment, and also John has another company called Work.ph, which is W-E-R-K.ph. Again, you know, we aren't an infomercial. This isn't about getting John more business. I find huge value in digging into John's own personal experience and also the experience of Teledevelopment, because there's so much to learn and so much kind of interesting things to discuss about the evolution of the outsourcing market, not only the history, but where it's going into the future. So I had a great conversation with John. I'm sure you will learn a lot too. If you want to get in touch with John or want to know any more about this episode, of course, you can find all the show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/204. Enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. Today, again, I'm joined by John Kaplan of Teledevelopment and Work.ph. Super excited to have you here. Thank you, John. How are you?
Derek, thanks. Thanks for having me back. Good to be with you in the audience today.
Absolute pleasure. And of course, we interviewed you previously in a previous episode where we deep dived into your background. But I want to get you back today to talk about Teledevelopment itself and deep dive into Teledevelopment. So, you know, I'm maybe just going to, I'll get you to introduce yourself, but effectively I see Teledevelopment almost as a BPO to BPOs. You're almost like a professional services firm servicing the needs of the BPOs in the country. And because of that, you know, you've been active, you've been working for the last 25 years, which is literally the age of the industry itself. You say you've been involved with 750 BPOs or call centers. So have an incredible insight and personal direct experience on the market and the evolution of this market. So really excited about this conversation. I suppose initially, John, do you want to just give people, for those that haven't heard your initial previous episode, an introduction into how you got into this industry?
Yeah. Thanks, Derek, for that intro already. I think that just means I'm old and experienced. but I think for your listeners, I spent a number of years in-house, managing in-house call centers as an employee of B.F. Goodrich and General Motors, building contact centers for them back in the late 70s, early 80s. Was on the service agency side as VP of Business Development, owned my own service agency, and then created Teledevelopment, or TDS, U.S., back in the early 90s. And then we've established ourselves here in the Philippines about 15 years ago, over 15 years ago, with both Teledevelopment Philippines and another company called Work.ph, which is a digital recruitment marketing platform, and we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So just to, you know, and again, I interview a lot of BPO owners. Most of them are sort of within the SME space. Certainly most of them are under kind of 1,000 to 2,000 employees. You have started right at the beginning of the industry. You're dealing with a lot of the giants in the industry, those BPOs that employ you know, tens of thousands of people, 50,000, 100,000 people. So you're really at the big end of town. So it's good to get your insight into how this functions. But how would you summarize what you do for these people? Is it like a professional services firm specifically within the outsourcing niche? How do you help these BPO partners of yours do what they do?
I'd love to answer that question. But let me just start off by saying, you know, the big players didn't start off big, right? In the very early days of TDS here in the Philippines, we supported a company called eTelecare. They had less than 100 people. They ended up growing and was acquired by Stream, and then they were acquired by Convergys. We started off with a company here early 2000 helping, called Ambergris Solutions. They were less than 50 people when they started, when we got involved with them. They were then acquired by TELUS. So it's a misnomer. Big companies don't start off big. So even your SMEs with the right vision and the right talent and the right management team and support services have really good growth opportunities ahead of them in this market if they apply good, smart thinking. Yeah.
But do you think the heyday is over, though, for outsourcing? You know, it's, and especially people listening in the West, you know, people are just staggered by the numbers that these outsourcing and service firms have, you know, with tens of thousands of people, maybe 200,000 people for some of them. It's just an incredible kind of feat, isn't it?
You know, let's put things in perspective really quick. The U.S. market has about 3.3 million people employed in what we would call the BPO space. You know, here in the Philippines, we're already 1.3. So look at the amount of growth that we've accomplished in such a short period of time. And there's a lot more ahead of us. And maybe if you don't mind, I'd like to get back to your original question, which is a little bit about who we are and what we do. For those that are interested to learn more about the Philippines, that's one of our strong support services is consulting. We help companies understand market entry. Do you outsource? Do you dry lease? Do you build? Do you buy? Do you acquire? So we have huge amounts of experience in helping companies from a strategic perspective understand what are the options for market entry. And then once they decide to come in, we have a plethora of kind of HR support services, if you will, to support them. So our best clients, just to give you a quick model, is a company that we might help with market entry. And again, could be outsourced to an SME or to a larger provider. It could be build, buy, acquire, etc. And then oftentimes, the first thing that kicks in after we help them through registration is our executive search. So we have an executive search team that typically the first three key critical positions would be a country leader, then would be an HR director, and then a finance director. And again, let's don't get hung up on titles depending upon the size of your organization, and you don't always need to start there. But typically operations, HR, and finance. Then our staffing business kicks in, and we help through recruitment process outsourcing our client's staff and ramp up. They oftentimes take advantage of a suite of assessment tools that we have to make sure that they can hire the right people with the right skill sets. They may choose to outsource their payroll to us. So as you're starting to get a picture, you know, we're kind of an HR support services organization. Everything from consulting, training, staffing, management, recruiting, assessment tools, payroll, etc.
And do you help establish the processes as well? Because outsourcing is all about optimization of processes, isn't it? And that's where the Philippines is very specialized. If you get new companies that come in, and they're maybe not as familiar with that, you know, I think there's a huge amount of value transfer there, isn't there, in kind of optimizing processes. Do you see that as a specialty of the Philippines, of outsourcing and then also of teledevelopment as a derivative?
Well, it's certainly one that we do oftentimes from a consulting perspective, but it's also one that you have to really peel back your potential partner very closely. Once you get past the websites and the glossy literature, being able to really audit and assess the capabilities and strengths of the management team, their operating processes, and yes, for the most part, they're very solid and they're very good because, let's face it, there's a tremendous amount of experience here. It used to be that there used to be a very, very large expat population here of operators, senior level directors, but today, not as necessary. Because we have a lot of great talent here. And so that's a big part of understanding the operational savvy of your potential partner or resource is what's the strength and the experience of the management team.
Right. And so what is your, I suppose, ideal client versus what is your standard client, you know, in terms of maybe is it $100 million company, $1 billion company? And do you see the bigger companies kind of drying up? Because I have the, I suppose, thesis or hypothesis that any big company, any of the big multinationals, they've already outsourced, you know, there's kind of no more left. I can't imagine ones that have not yet ventured into it. So I suppose that's a double question there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, the door has swung both ways, but it's leaning more towards the boutique SME opportunities as well as specialized service offerings. And so what I mean by that is we've been involved in some very, very, very large startups, ADP, Capital One, Wells Fargo. I mean, from the early days of their entry into the marketplace, we were there supporting them and many, many others. But today, it's more boutique organizations that are starting, with 10 seats, quickly growing to hopefully 50, and maybe maxing out at 100 to 200 seats.
Right.
And they're looking for somebody that can pair up with them based on cultural fit, based on speciality. So I would agree with you. I think most of the major players are here. I mean, with the exception of a few latecomers, I mean, as early as just recently in a big way, Amazon has come to Cebu, they're coming to Manila, the Airbnbs are here. So you've got some of these startup,
Yeah, but I mean, it's the fresh big business, isn't it? You know, and I suppose Uber have come here. But they've come via TaskUs. Yes. Sorry, go on.
Fresh digital people or, it's those companies, corporate organizations that have finance applications or benefit administration applications or back-end data processing applications that are looking for partners and still bringing stuff over in some velocity.
Right. Yeah. And I mean it's good. What do you say to the true SME that maybe has 20 staff in the US? Is it something that you can serve, or do you find that there's not, maybe even for the SME, there's not even the scale for them to really benefit from outsourcing? What's your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, here in the Philippines we can handle programs of any type of complexity. However, that being said, some companies are oftentimes of the mindset, of course, that nobody's going to do it better than them. So depending upon how technical or complex or key some small operations are in a particular organization, they may choose to keep them internal. But what's also driving decisions is the bottom line, the profitability, and CFOs being challenged with cost reduction. And as minimum wage continues to increase, and operating expenses continue to increase, many of them can't help but look to outsource some of these smaller functions.
And so we have done a white paper exploring the size of the SME market in the West, and we've identified that there's about 35 million SMEs. They employ 100 million people with a combined $12 trillion revenue, and this is in about 9 or 10 key English-speaking high-cost countries. You know, and I suggest that maybe 1% of those are outsourcing, and you know, I think that there's potential eventually for all of them to outsource because technology will mean that it's almost normal. You know, it'd be abnormal just to be restricted to employing in your hometown. You know, do you see though that the market is maturing or is it fracturing? Are things becoming a lot more flexible or rigid? How do you see the evolution of the market, both in terms of clients, but then in terms of client requirements, in terms of roles that are executed over here?
It's a lot. I think the mindset has shifted a long time ago. People sometimes still can't picture where the Philippines is located, but they certainly can understand that they're speaking to somebody in India or the Philippines or somebody that's non-native English-speaking person. And so I think as long as the experience is good, it's all about the customer experience. It's all about the user experience. As long as we can continue to set the bar and keep the bar high in terms of back-end results, then you know, the potential for continued growth is awesome. I think for those companies that lower the standards, because they're extremely price conscious and sensitive, and you know, as we know, it only takes a few of the bad apples to spoil, you know, the bunch. And so I think as long as Westerners do proper due diligence in selecting the right partners, they're going to have a wonderful experience. And as long as we can continue to provide good quality experiences, then we're going to be golden. You know, there has been proposed legislation in the past that that you might need to give a caller. We'll talk about voice as an example. Mm. You might need to give the caller the option to be routed back to the U.S. And you know, if you look at that type of damaging legislation, because we're not doing a good job in fulfilling expectations, then it's going to be damaging. And quite frankly, that gets back to one of our services. We have, you know, a pretty widely used product called Versant, which is an English skills assessment tool for non-native English speakers. So we can fully assess the quality of a communicator in about 18 minutes using technology, using machine learning. But it's tools like that need to be utilized to make sure that you're having a good customer experience.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that, actually, because I feel, you know, I'm very, I suppose, paternalistic for the Philippines and the outsourcing industry and the potential that it has. But a lot of people are very skeptical and scathing and you know, and I think this is huge hangover in terms of just general day-to-day consumers. You mention outsourcing and they kind of grimace and they think back to when they last phoned their bank, you know, and they had someone that couldn't really understand their issues. There were communication problems. But, you know, I see that as unfair now. I kind of call that the hangover of olden day teleservices. Do you think, yourself, you know, have you seen the industry improve? And do you see now the actual quality being offered is kind of light years away from what was being done 20 years ago? Do you see that, like, a lot of the issues that people still pin on the industry are actually as a result of prior bad experiences?
Well, most of these Western markets are a melting pot of cultures and languages to start with. Mm. So you have a similarly poor experience in any country. I have found that there's nothing more important in an outsourced world than to A, protect your client's brand, and B, to make sure that you've got that strong positive user experience. So to your point, if organizations cut corners because they want to be the lowest cost provider, or if they cut corners in not doing a thorough assessment in their onboarding and recruitment process, then you're going to get that negative feedback. And to me, particularly when we talk about SMEs, that would be my single most, there's two things that I would tell the SMEs that may be listening to this is, number one, strive to have strong operational practices in place and don't cut corners when it comes to people. And then secondly, be very careful and leery about the types of clients that you accept, because not all business is good business. So getting back to your question about the image, yes. Is the image still tainted from time to time? Absolutely. But, and it's the old saying, right? You know, a negative situation is going to have much more outcast in terms of communication than a positive experience. But I would tell you that most conversations are positive. Unfortunately, we hear about the negative ones at in social settings. And today, more than any, is social media will beat you up. If you have just a couple of bad experiences, even though it might be less than 0.5%, the social media aspect of a poor customer experience will just can kill you. So you got to be more careful today than ever. So I think we're more tolerable and acceptant of offshore and nearshore calls, but you can't cut corners and you got to deliver quality.
Absolutely. And I suppose just finally, what's your view on adoption rates of outsourcing? Obviously, outsourcing is somewhat controversial in the US at the moment. But, my position is that the big boys have been outsourcing now for decades. It's ingrained into just standard operations. Yet the SMEs, they're kind of slow to adopt. They're slow to sort of see the huge opportunity that there is. How do you see the sort of the adoption rates in the smaller end of the market and your own experience in the US?
The good news is there's lots of opportunities for SME because the smaller end of the market can't afford to do what the larger end of the market has done. If you look at what the biggest growth has been here in the last several years, it's been those companies that used to outsource and still do to a certain degree, but have also built captives. And so they feel that they can protect their brand, and now that they've had these experiences in the Philippines and the threat and the scares and everything's been proven, they've gone captive and they're bringing over more shared services operations and they're continuing to grow in a captive environment. For the SMEs, it's going to be very different, and so I see still tremendous opportunity. Because those types of opportunities that go to the SMEs are not likely to go captive. So if you create the right relationship with the client, they could be a long-standing partner for many, many years to come.
Fantastic. Yeah, and again, that's a very similar message to what I tell people as well. Thank you so much. And so, you know, I'm just being mindful of your time. If anybody wants to get in touch with Tally Development, you know, you have been in the market as long as the market has existed. Tally Development has been here for the last 25 years. It's amalgamated the best practice of the 750 BPOs or call centers that you've been involved in. And you know, there's just an incredible wealth of experience there. So if anyone does want to get in touch with you or learn more about Tally Development, how can they do that?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Derek. Please visit us, teledevelopment.com, T-E-L-E development, teledevelopment.com, or visit us at work, which we haven't spoken too much about, work, W-E-R-K.ph. We've got some really, really leading edge mobile first technology that we're offering and bringing to the market that is top of the funnel recruitment. It's very gamified, lots of challenges, and getting great results. We'd love to share.
Yeah. Well, should we just talk about work actually? Because I overlooked that. But work, what is that? That's an online recruitment platform specifically targeting the needs of the BPO industry. Is that right?
Yeah. We actually, and thanks for asking, Derek. We actually do three or four things that pretty well. Well, number one, we're a job portal. Pretty focused to the BPO space, about 12,000 applicants a month coming into work. We do digital recruitment marketing, where we deploy digital strategies, social media strategies for the likes of, you know, Capital One, Citibank, 51 Talk, Hart Hanks, where we actually create microsites for them and put out Facebook advertising and different campaigns using Google and SEO, SEM.
Because a lot of the communication here is over the social media, isn't it? You've really got to be kind of connected to that to reach out to the population now.
In this market, you got to be where the eyeballs are, and the eyeballs are mobile.
And then the platform kind of automates the process, does it, of matching the candidate to the roles?
It really does. And so, yeah, if anybody would like to learn more, please give us a shout out, work.ph, or please email me at jkaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, first initial J, jkaplan, at teledevelopment.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, John.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, that was John Kaplan of Teledevelopment and also their other business, which is work.ph. If you want to get in touch with John or know any more about his companies, you can, of course, find all of the details in our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/204. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then please just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.